On the final Saturday of 2025, nice to have you around our home improvement show presented by Lindus Construction. Denny Long here, Andy Lindus over there. Andy, good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good morning to you.
Yeah, what happened to this 2020? Wow, zipped by like they are going along. But it's been a pretty good year. I think you could probably say Lindus has had a pretty successful year. I'm hoping you'll say that.
Yeah, you know, the last half of the year were a lot of records were set for the amount of work that we were able to accomplish and taking care of a lot of projects and still trying to wrap up a bunch. We've been blessed a little bit with a nice little kiss of warmer weather here to end the year, allowing us to get some things wrapped up that we needed to get wrapped up. But we're excited for 2026, you know. Don't have to worry about every year. I don't care who's running for office. The election years just seem to put a little bit of a hangover in the fall of the election and then the spring of the election. And I'm just glad all that's behind us. We can just focus in on anything else. We're going to have a normal year now. And here in 2026, well, as normal gets, and pretty excited. I don't anticipate any crazy price increases, any crazy labor increases. I really think that things have stabilized as far as buying, and I've actually seen some prices coming down on home improvement products. So pretty excited about that. And our good friends at Milwaukee have a few new tools coming out, too, that I'm told that are a different way that the drills are made. There's some new nail guns that are coming out. We're kind of junkies when it comes to our power tools, Denny.
Yes, so, I'm with you.
Yeah, it's an addiction, and I'm not the only one. There's you walk into a lot of my people's garages, and there's as much red and black as any other color in those garages. It's a crazy addiction, and they make hundreds of different types of tools. And maybe it's my age, but I have a hard time buying a tool for just one purpose. It needs to serve multiple purposes. Maybe it's the fact I'm running out of room as well.
That could be. You got to economize. Yeah, space.
Yeah. I have an angle drill that I bought for a project and I haven't used it since. So I might actually build something so I can rewire and get that angle drill back thing. Or I should probably just gift it to the fellows at the office.
Well, I thought you were going to say an angle grinder. That's one of the tools I bought many years ago. A guy I knew said, "You're not going to regret buying this angle." That was like 20 years ago, I suppose. And I still have it, but I also had to buy a battery-operated one. Uh-huh. And like you, I get a kick out of tools, too. I mean, come on. But I wanted to ask you a little bit. But first of all, let me invite our listeners to join in, as I promised. If you have any kind of a home improvement question for Andy, you can call it in if you want to chat with him. That's great. Otherwise, just send a text, 651-461-9226. That's for either a phone call or a text, certainly. 651-461-9226. Lately, Andy, not only on news stories on television, but Facebook, some of the social media things, a lot of insulation questions, either tips, maybe misinformation in some cases. I wanted to ask you about that. Well, what are some of the false things, and you and I have talked about it, like light switches, the draft coming through, things like that. But what about doors and windows? Tell us what some good ideas are, or some fake ones that really don't work.
When it comes to insulation, Denny, I think the biggest mistake people make that I see is that they're just adding insulation to the project. If you're talking to a professional and they're coming to your house and they don't talk to you about attic air sealing, about your vapor barrier, and you're just talking about blowing in insulation over the top or topping it off is what people like to refer to it as, they're not doing you any favors. In fact, a lot of times they can make it worse in your attic. By just adding insulation and not taking care of the attic air sealing, which is we'll get to the outlets here in a second, you're creating an easier surface for condensation to happen. You're creating a colder surface. You're not stopping the warm air from coming up at all. But what you did is you created a colder surface. So sometimes the condensation rating actually goes down when you just add insulation. So when that happens, now you're talking about frost in the attics. And what we're seeing in a lot of attics on these same insulators that come in and just top you off, aren't doing anything with the attic air sealing or the pest control. Like when I take infrared imaging of insulation and I see that mice have been in there, it's usually pretty easy to see. I've seen some crazy ones over the last 2 weeks. I don't know if Minnesota has just these crazy engineering brains of mice, but the tunnel systems and the houses built into these insulation is pretty cool. It's very interesting to look at infrared imaging and see how much damage mice have done. And if you're feeling that draft coming through the outlets, and there's those outlet covers, you're seeing them less and less. I think people are wise to it. Like if you feel air coming out of your outlets, that's usually coming from your attic this time of year. So if you have mice in your attic or all sorts of different critters, we've seen raccoons, red squirrels, rats, you name it. We find them in attics. That's the air that you're breathing. So just keep that in mind. If you're feeling drafts coming out of your wall, it's almost always coming from your basement or your attic area. It's never just coming through the wall there. That's not where the draft is coming from. People have us out all the time to replace their windows because they think they're drafty, and really the problem is in the attic. And what I feel is over the last year, I've seen a few different experts in the industry and podcasts talk about and finally admit that spot sealing is a bad idea. What I mean is going up into an attic and moving the insulation around and using a froth pack or a small spray foam option and just trying to spot seal, you're not going to 100% take care of the problem. And I really think if it were me, I would do nothing to my attic if all I could afford is adding insulation over the top. If you really want to affect change, like what we did at your house, Denny, is we vacuumed out all of the insulation in the attic. Yeah. Really let us see what is going on in there. We addressed any of the attic air sealing that needed to do, and we put down 2 inches of closed cell spray foam, and then we blow cellulose over the top of that, which I like cellulose more. I know, again, cellulose does settle more than fiberglass, but that's why I always try to put an R. If I'm not doing spray foam, I'm just doing a normal vapor barrier, I'm going to put an R60 in there because I know as that cellulose settles, it kind of creates almost a little crust. It's harder for the air to move through the cellulose than it is fiberglass. I've been in attics that have fiberglass, Denny, mm-hmm. and a windstorm came through and blew all of the fiberglass to one side of the attic.
Really?
So that's how easy that stuff can move. It's light and fluffy. It's the air that the fiberglass traps that really gives it the insulation values that it has out there. The biggest mistake I think people make is they think they can rent a machine or do it on the cheap or throw some bats up in the attic. On average, it's under 3 but over 2. It's like 2.8 types of insulation on average that Linus Construction removes from the attic before we do a complete reseal and blow in. So you take that into consideration, knowing that people have tried to fix these attics a couple of times before they get around doing it the right way. That makes it should give you pause and at least make you ask questions about what is actually happening up there and who am I having work on my project and what is going to actually happen. It's just a couple of questions to ask, and I think you'll be in a better spot.
Hang on, Andy. We're going to take a bit of a break here. Let's invite our listeners to join in. You can have a question about the insulation. You can have a question about windows, roofing, siding, or those great leaf guard gutters. Whatever the case may be, do call, do send a text, whichever is easier, at 651-461-9226. 9:18 in the morning. We have at least beginning tomorrow morning at 6, a winter storm watch in effect here in the Twin Cities. From 6 a.m. tomorrow until Monday at noon. What are we talking about? We're talking about the possibility tomorrow during the day, throughout the day, 3 to 7 inches possible of new snow. There's about a 90% chance of that. And then maybe overnight Sunday night to early Monday morning, 2 to 4 more inches of snow, obviously affecting, there's a good chance, Monday morning drive time. You stay tuned to CCO. We'll keep you posted. Could be changing. Right now, fog and mist. We're heading for a high today of 42. Right now on CCO, 34. Stay with us. News Talk A3O. This is WCCO. Final show this year. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Andy Lindis answering those questions. Andy, let's grab a phone call. Fran, been waiting there in Invergrove Heights. Thank you, Fran. What is your question for Andy?
Yes, thank you. On Christmas morning, we, in our storeroom in the basement, which has a cement floor, we had water standing and some boxes on it got wet. Anyway, it looked like the water started in the cracks in the cement floor, and we checked pipes above. We checked the wall on the exterior, no water. So we're thinking that the water seeped up through the cracks from the ground. Mm-hmm. And so we have dehumidifiers going now. We wiped everything up. But what do you recommend to be our next step?
Do you have a sub pump?
We do, and that was dry.
Hmm.
There was nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a puzzler. You know, I've had really good luck with the people at safebasements.com. It sounds like it's hydrostatic pressure, but if this is something that's never happened before and it was standing water, that's what gives me a little bit of pause. It's not like we're experiencing crazy heavy rains or anything at this time.
Right. But we were experiencing, I wanted to also add, our home we built 47 years ago, we sit kind of up on a hill, and the majority of the floor was not wet, but it was just where the cracks were in the floor. But, sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to add that also, not knowing if it's a factor.
The cracks could be a definite factor. One, water's going to follow the easiest pathway. And so if you're getting some hydrostatic pressure there where it's bringing the water up from the floor, meaning like because your walls were dry, if I recall when we were first talking here. So my guess is it's coming up from the bottom and it's going to come up through those cracks. Now, fixing those cracks might put the water off someplace else, but I wonder, it could be as simple as, you know, maybe the gutter system was frozen and wasn't working properly, so water was coming next to the foundation there, or if snow was melting next to the foundation going down. But even then, that just doesn't happen a lot. This is definitely a unique situation. You've been there 47 years. You've never had water in the basement before?
No, we haven't. So our storeroom is unfinished with the cement floor, but then the rest of the basement has sheetrock walls and ceramic tile floor. And the area of the storeroom where it got wet, the part of the floor next to the outside wall was completely dry, and it was only along the cracks on the interior part of the storeroom. So I know.
Yeah. So when was the last time you were in the storeroom before you found the water?
Probably 2 days at the most.
Okay.
So, this happened Christmas morning.
Okay. Yeah, would want to do some further investigation, whether it's one of my people from at Lindis Construction or safebasements.com. A lot of times throughout diagnostic work, we can figure out what's going on there. I'd probably lean more towards the people at Safe Basements. They have an office right in Hastings.
Okay.
They can come out and they'll use a few different diagnostic tools to try to figure out what's going on there.
Okay.
Has the crack always been there? Like, has the crack been there for 10, 15 years, or has it gotten worse?
Honestly, I can't tell you because there have been boxes sitting on the floor there for quite a while. And so those are the ones that got wet. And when we started removing things out of the storeroom, the things that we obviously could see, the boxes were wet on the bottom. It was only wet where the crack was, and then the cardboard boxes had been absorbing some of the water. But the cement floor beyond the crack was dry.
Andy at lindisco.com is my email address. If you want to take a couple of pictures of the storeroom and send it to me, if I can deduce anything from those pictures, I'll let you know. but okay. I'll definitely reply with the folks at safebasements.com on how to get a hold of them and have them come out. I know their first estimate's free, so have them come out and take a look at it. And if they can, why I'm comfortable recommending them, Denny, is if they can't fix it and they don't think what they offer is going to solve the problem, they're going to let you know that.
Oh, absolutely. So, they're Andy, yeah, as you know, they're the best in the business as far as I'm concerned. Safebasements.com, Fran. And Andy, you mentioned it, suggested this could be an issue. And I'm looking at a texter, Fran and Andy. The melting water, this is from a listener, the melting water from the roof could be going down the downspout and down the block wall and then coming up through the floor. They had that happen once. When they didn't have their downspout extension on. So at least this listener had it happen once to their house because it was going down the melting snow like Andy suggested. So it could be it. Have Linda's come out. Have Safe Basements come out, Fran, and I bet you get an answer for sure. Thank you for the call. Yeah. Wow. All those, 47 years, Andy, she said, first time?
Yeah.
Wow. Some good suggestions. Good luck with that. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break for that forecast. Important weather coming up. Weather changes here in the Twin Cities and surrounding areas, so stay with us. But in the meantime, if you have any kind of a home improvement show, a question for Andy here on the show, we have about another half hour to get an answer. So call us, text us, any home improvement question at 651-461-9226. This is News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Good morning. Welcome back to our home improvement show. If you have any kind of a home improvement question for Andy Lindis, by all means, you can call it in, like some folks like to do, or send a text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. Andy, we were talking about Milwaukee tools, how much we love those tools. And a texter said, if you haven't bought the old Milwaukee mini air compressor for tires and the like, time to buy it. It's the best. Here's another tip for you. Oh, you have one.
I have the M12 and the M18 inflator, and I've used them both a lot. It's in fact, over the last year, I think my inflators and the backpack vacuum are probably the most used tools, Milwaukee tools, that I own. Oh, the oscillating saw was used a lot this year, though, too. I have a few different attachments for that bad boy, and I've gone through some blades.
Okay. I'll have to check that out. Looking at another text this morning, considering a renovation, the texter says that includes opening up a flat, low ceiling and creating an A-frame type of ceiling, but wondering how that ceiling would be insulated since there won't be an attic above it anymore.
It would be either done as a hot roof. We've done some different things. So on you see this a lot on vaulted ceilings or in great rooms. The first time I ever seen this done was on my parents' cabin. We ordered this board. It's a foam board that has a built-in air channel underneath it. So we put that after we removed the roof. We pulled up the decking. We spray foamed that entire area, but there's only allowed about 6 inches of space in this particular cabin, so it's not enough insulation. So after we put the roof deck back on, we added 2 inches of hardboard foam with a air gap underneath it. So, and then we ran a fascia vent, so there's air flowing underneath the foam on the roof deck, so you didn't really have to worry about the heat loss melting the snow and causing ice dams. It's something to be cognizant of, but as you're building it, if you can put enough, if you can get like 10 inches of spray foam in there, that might be enough of a thermal break to really stop the heat from going up there. But one thing you're going to want to consider is and again, closed cell spray foam by a professional is what I would look at, is insulating that area, because it's going to be labeled a hot roof. And all the hot roofs aren't, they're not labeled that way because of their temperature. Well, kind of, but it's not necessarily the truth. It's called a hot roof if there is no ventilation. That's the biggest distinction. So a roof that is dense packed with insulation or spray foam completely with no ventilation is a hot roof, which is almost always the case in vaulted ceiling type areas.
All right. Very good. Again, our number is 651-461-9226. I wanted to ask you, we were talking about earlier, if you're just joining us, with Andy about insulation, the best ways to do it or not to do it. Now, you and your crews at Lindus have a chance to get up in attics of new homes, or newer homes, maybe I should put.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen even newer homes lacking in the proper insulation?
I sure have. There was one particular development that will remain nameless. The builder is no longer around. I have no idea how it passed inspection or what type of inspections actually happened at this place. I can only imagine, because I knew the area, pretty familiar with the area, and was pretty familiar with the I know the couple of cities got rid of the inspection service they were using. But I got it. These homes were 2 or 3 years old at the time, built early 2000s, and there were 3 or 4 inches of insulation in the attic, which is wildly under-insulated and way below code. And the vapor barriers were hit and miss as far as done properly. So it's not uncommon. I shouldn't say it's kind of an uncommon thing to find that on a newer home. But I started to see this in certain neighborhoods and certain types of builders, and it's just something to keep in mind. Even though you're buying a brand new house, I would still want my own inspector to take a look at some things to make sure. And that's one of those things. I want to know what my R value is in my attic, what type of attic air sealing took place. And once you know those things, then you're going to be a little bit better educated than the average consumer. You'll be in a better spot. But, old homes, new homes, you name it. You know what I don't find in new homes that I find in old homes pretty regular still is newspaper. Why newspaper was the insulation of choice in the 50s is beyond me, but makes for an interesting read at times, and it's fun. In fact, I've seen different messages, like, hey, Bob Smith was here remodeling in 1947. So
wow.
If I've ever worked on a project where I'm opening up a wall, There's going to be some messages in there. I'm just telling you, somebody 30, 40 years from now is going to have some fun quotes by Andy Lindus on the inside of walls as they start to tear into them.
I remember my old house that we had in Southwest Minneapolis. I think it was built in 1916. Down in the basement, one of the joists still had some bark on it. I bet you've seen that a lot, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah.
Yes, the old timbers down there. In fact, I've ripped out a floor, was standing on a timber, and had said timber fail, and I ended up in the basement. But I was a much younger man, and a little cat-like reflexes, and had me do a little tuck and roll, and I was none the wear. But, I've had some of those timbers fail on me in the past.
You are more resilient. Yeah, I know the feeling. This listener recently moved into a new home. It was a new build that we did not do the plans on. But after moving in, they say, we realized that my husband's pickup truck would not fit in the garage due to where the steps come down from going into our mudroom. Do you think this is a hard thing to change, to move the steps placement? It is just a regular size pickup, by the way, not an extended cab. What do you think there?
You know, I'm having a hard time. So, like, the steps that go from the house into the garage?
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, it goes into the mudroom, which I assume, is the access door from the garage.
Yeah. You know, if it can be done, it sounds like a pretty easily and inexpensive thing. I mean, these aren't fancy stairs. If we can move them and change them, for sure, why not? It's a much easier task. You know, we get called out to people, you know, they buy those camper vans. And twice I've gone out and given estimates because people tried to, twice I've seen this happen where people bought the van and then crashed into the garage. As many times as I can't remember, people buy a bigger vehicle and then realize it doesn't fit in the garage before they crash it, at least. That's a good thing. So a couple of times I've had to come out and fix garages because people tried to park vehicles too big in there. But creating a bigger door, a taller door, is a very expensive and hard task to accomplish. And it can be doable. I've also done things with boats where we knock out the back wall build a new wall there for the boat motor to fit into so people can actually fit their boat in the garage. We've done a few different things in garages to make them work. So if you want, estimates are free. Have Luke come out, take a look at the stairs, and it should be pretty easily, if it can be done, he'll let you know pretty quick.
Yeah, if it couldn't be, yeah, I agree. Well, that's a good point. Good luck with that, by the way, to our listener. If you have another home improvement question, by all means, call us, text us, 651-461-9226. This is another text. I'm trying to discern this. I guess they want to know as far as condensation. They want to know if the window, they see condensation on real cold temperature, and we get this a lot here this time of year. If there's condensation on the window, is that normal is what they're asking, I guess. And then we can talk about humidity levels. But in some cases with real cold temps, is some condensation normal on our windows?
Possibly. I want to know what your humidity levels are in the house. You're never going to get rid of all frost up on some areas, but I can tell you this, Denny, it's with the Infinity Window by Marvin, and this is why the Everwood product is so cool, which is the inside of the window, which we can stain to match. So even if there is condensation on them, that's not going to harm the wood. That's one of the things you have to be careful of. If you have windows that are condensating a lot and it's a wood finish on the inside, chances are you're going to need to refinish those windows every couple of years in order to protect the wood. Now, one thing I've noticed ever since we switched to Infinity about a dozen years ago now is the amount of condensation calls or frost up on windows that we get has gone way down. And I'm really excited. We've now, Infinity's come out with a couple of new glass packs and spacer systems that have even better condensation ratings. So in the last year, our windows have gotten better and more efficient. So we should even get less and less condensation problems. In fact, I can't remember a time I've gone to somebody that's having condensation issues with an Infinity window and not found the humidity to be wildly too high. Like, I've seen humidity levels above 70% when it's 10 degrees outside. That's a recipe for disaster. And this is why I think running a dehumidification system or a dehumidifier, the one I truly adore, is the Santa Fe dehumidifier. It's not cheap. It's a couple of grand. But I have one that's over 25 years old. And I got a new one this year for my shed because the shed I completed in 2021, and the Santa Fe now is a third. Again, when you try to save some money and you go cheap, it just always bites me in the butt, Denny. It just, yeah. It's one of those things. So if I had just spent the $2,000 in 2021, I would never have to replace it. But this is the third dehumidifier. I spent $400 on one, $500 on another one, and now I just spent $2,300 on the Santa Fe. So I would have saved myself about $1,000 had I just spent the money to begin with. But I tried to be frugal, and yeah, it bit me. But I think running a dehumidifier in the wintertime is more important than most times of the year. And I set mine at 40%, and I have 9 different types of windows in my home, 4 different brands of doors in my home, and I don't receive frost up on any of them. So something to keep in mind there.
And that the material that the Infinity window by Marvin is made from, it's maintenance free, isn't it?
Yeah, 100% maintenance free. Once we stain it, you should never have to worry about it again. And it really does look like wood, but it's not wood. You know, it's not going to grow any mold. It's not going to deteriorate like wood is. And it really, as far as I'm concerned, the best materials you possibly can get to build a window, Marvin has figured out with the Infinity Window by Marvin.
Yeah, great stuff. Let's grab a phone call this morning before we take a break. Rick is on the horn with a question. Rick, what is your question for Andy Lindis?
Well, Andy, we're up at our lake place, and I recently removed or had a company come out. I put leaf guard on our lake place, and we have some steep valleys in there, and where the where it comes down, I can see the crease or the opening between the gutter and the hood, and that's all clear, but it's building up ice up into those valleys. Is there anything I can do, or do I have to be worried about it?
Usually it's not worried about it. The nice thing with LeafGuard is you'll be able to pull the ice over the top, and like I'm guessing that there was some ice up there before. The way ordinary gutters are, the bottom lip of the ordinary gutter comes up a little bit farther, so a lot of times you can't see the edge of the roof from right there. So I'd have a hard time thinking that the LeafGuard is causing ice buildup in the valley. But it's usually nothing to worry about. I know for us at Lindus, we carry a lifetime ice damage guarantee. So if any damage ever comes from the gutters, they ever pull loose or just form anyway because of the ice and snow buildup, we will replace them for free. With LeafGuard, I see more often than not, you see icicles coming down, not going up onto the roof. But it usually when you're getting ice up the valley, it's happening before it gets to the gutters. And there's a couple of different heat tape solutions, and we're testing some different things out right now that we've looking at this company out of Colorado that makes this warm edge technology for the edge of the roof, and then they make a valley piece that goes up the valley that just on the houses that you can't get enough insulation or ventilation to. I think that this could be a good fix. But the what you have to worry about when you run a heat tape is I really don't see them lasting longer than 3 or 4 years. So it's something you might have to do every few years to take a look at. And maybe that will work. But if it's not leaking and it doesn't look like it's causing any damage, chances are not that big of a deal. The nice thing about LeafGuard is if you do want to rake your roof, now you're raking all the snow over the top of the gutter and down to the ground, not into the gutter, causing a different issue. But if you're really concerned about it, I would my guess is it's the St. Cloud office that they're working with, which isn't part of Lindus Construction. But 1-800-LeafGuard gets you to the nearest location and have somebody come out and take a look at it. Maybe they're installed wrong or something is going goofy there. I have seen it on crazy valleys, Denny, where we have to put up a deflector in order to handle the water.
Sure, I've seen it.
Snow and ice before, but that's something we're going to talk about with the customer and give them the pros and cons of that beforehand.
All right. Good luck with that. Let's take a break. We have a few minutes to go on the Home Improvement Show, and we can answer more home improvement questions at 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. High today, we're expecting 42 degrees. Enjoy the warmth because it will be changing. Right now in CCO, 34. In the midst of our final moments here in our Home Improvement Show, presented by Lindus Construction, Andy Lindus still answering those questions. We have a couple to go here. Andy, you had mentioned the phrase heat tapes. Maybe in a bit you can talk about those, what they are, and you said they last maybe 2-3 years. But I'm looking at a text that said a friend of mine told me to take a woman's nylons and put water softener salt in them for my roof to take care of ice. Is that true? It comes from Mark.
I'm not sure about water softener salt. I'm guessing it'll do very similar to like your normal sidewalk salt. They actually make buckets for roof salt, and they look like little hydrochloride hockey pucks.
Toss
up on your roof. And what it does is it doesn't like make the channel. And it's not consistent. What I like about the heat tapes, if you're having those types of issues, when a heat tape is basically the easiest way to describe it, it looks like an extension cord that gets hot. And the nice part about a heat tape in a valley is it's going to create a channel for the water to drain out. So if there is an ice dam, and the problem with ice dams is they can hold water up on your roof. And as much as we want to think that our roofs are waterproof, they usually are not. They're not boats, as my father used to say. They're designed to shed water. So anytime you would get water held up on the roof, issues can happen, leaks can happen. So if you can create a channel for the water to drain out, yes, you might have an ice dam, but at least you're not getting leaking into your attic space and wrecking insulation or causing mold or any of those issues. So that's what I always try to accomplish. If I'm not going to be able to accomplish the cause of the ice dam, getting rid of the cause of the ice dam, I hopefully can figure out a way to make sure the ice dam doesn't cause damage. That's my thought process when you're looking at those types of situations and what we train on all the time. And in fact, the last month, the amount of PowerPoint presentations and videos of inside attics that my people have gone through and the fixes that we've done is we've spent if you have one of my people coming out to your house to take a look at your attic, rest assured that they've trained and looked at more attic situations than almost any people on the planet have. We have some really unique situations in Minnesota. We have anywhere from story and a half houses to old four squares to historical homes to brand new walkouts. All of them have different things that you have to look for and different fixes that we have to work our way through. And over the years, we've found some best practices on all types of homes that we try to make sure our people are educated on. And if we can't get rid of the ice, we're going to try to come up with a way to make sure the ice doesn't cause damage.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. In fact, I didn't give the number for Linda's, whatever your project is. Maybe you have an issue you think you do with insulation. Why don't you call Linda's this coming week, 844-9-LINDUS. There's a New Year's resolution, 844-9-LINDUS. Andy, I know our time is running short here, but I'm looking at a text. Maybe you can help me with this. This texter used to have a condensation on their windows, and they solved the problem by installing something I never heard of, a heat recovery ventilator. Have you heard of that? An HRV?
Heat recovery ventilator. No.
Never heard of it. Maybe we'll have time for a follow-up.
Doing some research after the show here.
Yeah. A little homework. Okay.
I wonder, is that like something that's taking the moisture out of the air, I wonder? If it's like a built-in dehumidification system, maybe?
It must be. And we may get some clarification from the listener if we, you know, don't run out of time. Let me finish with this one. It's more of a comment than a question. Good morning. Ice dams attic insulation is very tricky with 114-year-old bungalow/craftsman houses. Old house must breathe, according to Twin City Bungalows Club. Many of us need to deal with ice dams on just the south side. What options, including heat tape or solar option, and the right option for old homes, and not create a different problem? I'm not sure if you have an answer for that. You mentioned heat tapes.
Yeah, again, heat tape's a last resort, as far as I'm concerned. It's something you use in order to make sure the ice doesn't cause problems. We've done some things on the edges of roofs on those types of bungalow homes, if it's the type of home I'm thinking of, that with that company out of Colorado that performed pretty good. But it's pretty rare that we can't come up with a ventilation and insulation plan that we know is going to work for that house and get rid of the ice dams. It's less rare that the customer agrees to that price tag. A lot of times in houses like that, these story and a half homes, it's not uncommon for that price tag to get up over $20,000. And if you have to remove a roof in order to get to the insulated and do it properly, it really does add to the ticket. So you have to weigh through that. How much work are you saving yourself? How much damage are you saving yourself? Is a little bit of ice okay? And I take care of this with the heat. Like, those are the things you have to work your way through. What I am confident on is there's no one else in the Twin Cities that will look at your particular home and walk through, use all the diagnostic tools that my people have, and come up with a plan specific to your home. Even the houses that have the exact same blueprint sometimes don't perform the exact same way. So a lot of things we have to take a look at. We don't know what has happened to the house over the last 40 years. So, you know, we can come in with some certain assumptions, but our diagnostic tools and throughout the estimating process, we'll know exactly what's going on and hopefully be able to give you a good plan. And in fact, I'd love to do that. If you're connected to all the other bungalow owners in the Twin Cities and we fix your problem, I got a feeling we're going to get some referrals out of you.
Yeah, I should say. Well, we're out of time, Andy, and I want to tell folks if those folks that texted in, 844-9-LINDIS. Call Lindis this coming week, whatever project you have in mind. That first visit when Lindis is always free, 844-9-LINDIS. Andy, we got to run. Happy New Year to you and the whole crew at Lindis and your family, and let's talk in the new year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to Denny. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. Ryan Perpich, thank you for producing this. We'll talk to you next week. Denny Long, thanking you for your company. It's going to be an interesting weather day. You stay tuned for CCO. More updates on 830 WCCO.